You know, you would think on a day like today with the sun shining and, you know, people thinking about, you know, Ed Sheeran's concert and looking forward to their summer holidays and just generally enjoying the rays and looking at the beautiful view and all the things that are positive about the world. It's hard to believe that there will be people listening to this programme and maybe the only voices they will hear today are the voices coming out of the radio. And just imagine being lonely. Imagine being lonely. And it's not just lonely where no one ever comes to see you. There's like a loneliness in the crowd too. You could go out to the shops, you could go to the supermarket, you could go to the cinema, you could be surrounded by people, but you're still lonely. Now, Belfast City Hall, they're having an event indeed. And it's all linked to the campaign to end loneliness in Northern Ireland. Anne Callaghan is indeed the campaign manager for the campaign to end loneliness. That's a challenge and a half. Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
The definition of loneliness, it's not just a person who sits in the house all day, so it isn't, with no one coming to see them.
Exactly right. I mean, any of us can experience loneliness, but there's a real continuum. You can sort of feel lonely some of the time, or most of the time, or all of the time. And when you start getting into the kind of chronic end or kind of most into all the time, you start to see profound health impacts, both physical and mental health impacts. So mental health-wise, it could lead to depression or be a consequence of that. Physical health-wise, it can increase your risk of dementia by 64%. It can increase your risk of heart problems and increased blood pressure because you're not being as active or as connected. So loneliness really does have profound public health impacts. And for older people, that can be quite serious, basically.
So an older person who's sitting in a house who doesn't feel comfortable going out, and it's a bit of a task even to get the coat on to head for the door, and you're sitting in all day, and you might be looking out at the bright blue skies today, but you're looking out at the rain tomorrow, and you're still sitting there. What can be done to encourage that person to become more active, to get involved in other things, when really they don't want to be bothered doing it?
I think that's the case for some people, but I think it's really important to think about that loneliness can affect anyone. And really, it's about how we as a society actually enable people to kind of engage and communicate with one another. So we did a recent survey in sort of Northern Ireland, and it showed that almost half of adults in Northern Ireland feel it's been a long time since they made a new friend or connection. So think about someone who's maybe older. I remember my gran telling me many years ago that she was very sad and felt very lonely because all of her friends were kind of dying off, and she was starting to lose confidence in herself and her ability to connect with people. But research tells us that small moments of connection, you know, that kind of cheery wave across the street, or that, you know, conversation at the checkout, or, you know, meeting your neighbour on the stair, that can make a real difference to someone, make someone feel that they're not quite so invisible anymore. And connection is really, really important. It's something that I think we all want to do, but we need to kind of make an effort to do.
So loneliness and isolation, it's on the rise. And those of us who aren't lonely, who aren't isolated, we can do our bit, can't we?
Absolutely. We've started a movement called BeMoreUs.org.uk, and we're encouraging people to do that simple thing, so kind of to look out for that older neighbour or someone at the checkout or on the bus, and just start having kind of small moments of kind of conversation with people. And it just makes such a difference, because not everyone, you know, the person that you described earlier, not everyone really wants to get involved in groups. They're more comfortable in a kind of one-to-one or kind of a smaller setting. Now, there's some really lovely examples. You know, I'm based in Glasgow, and there's a lovely little cafe sort of near me that does you know, little sort of afternoon teas where kind of people can come in and know that it's a comfortable place to kind of come and meet. There's another great example in Oldham where there's something called Chatty Cafes, where cafes put out little signs, and it's clear that if you sit down at a certain table, you're open to kind of having a conversation. So there's lots of little things that we as individuals can do, either individually or, you know, within our community, to help make connections with older people.
Yeah, we should make an effort, and certainly we should be aware that it is on the rise. Anne, thanks for highlighting it with us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Anne Callaghan there. So, are you lonely? Are you listening to us because we are the only voices you will hear today. I'd love you to ring us. Do 02890 333 105. Maybe you've managed to overcome loneliness by someone intervening. Tell us how they did that. Or are you someone who goes out of your way to interact with people who you see as lonely? Again, it's an open door invitation here, and our light is always on, and our door, as I say, is always open. Good morning to you. 90 333 105. We're talking about loneliness on this programme this morning. William has a point that he'd like to make on that issue. Go ahead, William.
Good morning, Frank. I just listened to that person's was speaking about loneliness. I have experienced it for a long, long time, particularly on the mental health issues. You know what I mean? I live on my own. I have no family support. I have no support whatsoever. You know what I mean? Trying to access support in Northern Ireland, even trying to access mental health services, it's an absolute nightmare.
When you say you've no family support, William, are you living alone and you don't have any, like, you know, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins? You don't have anyone around you?
They're all dead.
So
I'm the only member of my family alive.
That's very sad. That is very sad.
And I live in an area now. I had a lot of friends. And the friends I grew up with now have either moved on or deceased. Well, and the people that live in the area now just don't give a toss about you.
What age bracket are you in, William?
I've just turned 60, Frank.
So you're a relatively young man, and you don't have...
Well,
relatively young. Like, there are people who you tend to think people are lonely when they're 75, 80, 90 years of age. But of course, you can be lonely as a teenager.
Yeah.
I'm not for a moment buying into the stereotype of loneliness or the age of a lonely person. You're 60 years of age, and you don't have any relatives or any family that you know. Just describe to me what a day is like not being able to interact with a brother or a sister or a cousin.
It's affecting my mental health badly. I suffer from anxiety disorder, and I'm taking panic attacks. I'm self-harming. I'm doing things that, you know, and the place where I'm living in now at the minute, the landlord is now saying that, you know, I can't stay there because of my mental health situation, and I have no way. The social services are now saying I have to go back to my GP for him to refer me to mental health services. I can't get an appointment to see my GP. I was in hospital yesterday in the A&E because I collapsed 5 times yesterday morning.
And who do you contact when you collapse? Do you have some home help? I don't mean their name, but, you know, who do you surround yourself with?
There's a coordinator in the scheme where I'm living, but, you know, I mean, most of the people live here have their own support. I regard social services or family. I have nothing, you know.
Because you sound, if you don't mind me saying, William, you sound like a guy who's pretty upbeat considering things are against you. Your tone of delivery is relatively positive sounding, but you must at times feel, well, as if life's a bit unfair.
I tried to commit suicide 3 times in the past because of it, you know.
And are you getting the help that you need from your GP?
I'm not getting any help at all, Frank. No help whatsoever.
It's very sad, William. It's very sad that, you know, you're going through the trauma of self-harm, contemplation of suicide. You know, your GP is your obvious port of call, and you've said you're not getting the mental health services, and we're very aware of those services not being available to people who feel that they need them. Your GP is the person who anyone would recommend to you as your guiding light, as you've got so little support. I'm just wondering, you know, there are other organisations, there are groups like PIPS and the Samaritans and various people who are listening ears. Do you ever try any of those, William?
Yeah, I mean, and I've been referred to different counselling sessions in the past, and all of them told us a witness. I mean, even asked when I was with social services, they refer me to an organisation that has befriending schemes, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was told, when I hear this, they have an 8-month waiting list in Belfast for befriending schemes.
That is sad. It really is.
I have a physical problem too. I've been referred to the gastroenterology department of Ulster Hospital for tests. And I'm now told, what do you hear this? I'm now told there's a 4-year waiting list.
Well, that
I've
is
been waiting list for 2 years, and I have to wait another 2 years.
William, that is the reality of the health service, and it is a sad reality. And that sadness, I suppose, is increased when you hear a real person talking about real dilemma. William, I really appreciate that you listen to the programme. I love having you along on the programme, and
I've been on the phone with you a couple of times before.
I know that. I'm very aware of that.
And, you're basically my lifeline, Frank. Because I have nobody at all.
Such a nice thing for anyone to say, William. You know, I don't want to sound patronising, but you've made my day by saying that.
You know, and as I said, you know, for the past 3 days I've tried to get a hold of my GP, and I can't get it at all. They won't give you an appointment. So there's no appointments at all. You're told to ring early in the morning, and you try to ring. Nobody answers the phone, and when you eventually get through. Sorry, there's no appointments left.
Well, William, I hope you get one soon. You know, do continue to try to get your appointment, because you must talk to medical professionals and liaise with the I mentioned two groups, and in particular the likes of PIPS and the Samaritans. Don't be afraid to lift the phone and have a conversation with them. And I so appreciate you taking part in our programme from time to time, and the fact that you listen to us, it means the world to us as well, William. And thanks very, very much for your contribution to what is a moving story this morning about loneliness. And thank you indeed, William. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, William. See, we're talking about various situations that people are in, and for some, it's very difficult.